The Giants invested a lot in third-round rookie wide receiver Malachi Fields out of Notre Dame. They traded up 31 total spots to select him in the 2026 NFL Draft, and they got what I think could be their future WR2. Now, what are our expectations year one for Malachi Fields? Where does he fit into this offense, and what's his potential long-term? When you're looking at this Giants receiving core, it's Malik Nabers, he's the WR1, and then it's a bunch of one-year contracts to a Darnell Mooney, a one-year contract to a Calvin Austin. Darius Slayton is still here. Yippee. Now he's injured, and he's got an out in his contract after the season. And then there's Malachi Fields as a potential long-term solution at WR2. So what does his rookie season look like, and how does he get on the path to being the running man opposite Malik Nabers? Well, there was an exciting quote that Alex has from John Harbaugh about Malik Nabers that we want to dive into and kind of base this conversation around, and then just discuss our expectations for him and how we feel Malachi Fields can perform in this specific offense that Matt Nagy is going to be running this upcoming season. So this is Fireside Giants presented by Prize Picks. I'm Anthony Rivardo, and that's my co-host Alex Wilson. Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And how are you feeling about Malachi Fields as he enters his rookie season?
Doing fantastic. And I think that the quote, I think it was from Joe Shane, actually, which may surprise you, but the way that he described Malachi Fields, I'm not gonna lie, it gets me pretty giddy, man. It gets me pretty excited about how they're gonna use this player. And we're gonna talk about the different ways that he can be deployed in this system, what his role really will be, and maybe a hot take to go in there, because I think there is a reasonable, you know, discussion to have about, you know, his role. Like, is he going to be WR2, 3, 4? Like, where does he fit into the mold here? So going to be a fun discussion. But Joe Shane said specifically, he thinks that Malachi Fields is going to be the power forward of the offense. Now, the Giants haven't had a consistently good power forward style receiver. I know it's a weird way to describe it, but it actually is quite accurate. You know, you look at like Lil Jordan Humphrey, like maybe that's the closest option. Isaiah Hodgins, like maybe that's the closest option to like one of those power forward style receivers, but neither of those guys are starters. Like neither of those two guys are regular everyday players. They're reserves, backups, depth. Malachi Fields could be a starter and a really solid starter at that with a bit more development and growth, but him being this physically imposing 6'4" receiver with honestly a lot of underused talents. I think Notre Dame, very run heavy style, similar to what the Giants are going to deploy. He's used to this system and scheme that we're about to run. And I think that gives him a level of familiarity that maybe other guys on this team don't currently have, right? I'd argue that Darius Slayton doesn't have a familiarity in a system like that just yet. I'd argue that maybe Darnell Mooney, I mean, he's with Bijan Robinson, so maybe he has a little bit more familiarity. But, you know, you look at guys like Calvin Austin, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers tried to run the ball a little bit, and then they had a heavy passing attack too with Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, you think about what Malachi Fields actually means to this offense. I'd argue he's a better scheme fit than all the guys aside from Malik Nabers in that wide receiver room right now, especially what the Giants want to do. So it's going to be an interesting discussion, Anthony, but what are your thoughts about how Joe Shane describes him, his role developing into the offseason, into the season in a couple months?
I think that it's an exciting description to call him a power forward, because what is a power forward going to bring, not in basketball, but in the NFL, to a football offense? I think that there's a few key traits to Malachi Fields' game that kind of fits that description. Number one, I think you mentioned that they're the run blocking, you know, his ability to play in a run-heavy system, but make an impact even when he's not running a route, when he's not catching the football, but to make an impact away from the ball and clear some space for Scadaboo, clear some space for Jackson Dart on those keepers, and Tyrone Tracy Jr. as well coming out of the backfield. His run blocking is really good for a wide receiver, and you cannot overlook the value of a solid run blocking wide receiver that can make a big impact. You're talking about a 15-yard gain. A good block downfield makes that 15-yard gain a 50-yard gain. That's truly the outcome when you have a solid run blocking wide receiver in your offense. So that's critical. But on top of that, you want to talk about a red zone machine? I think the stat was, Alex, that I posted on Twitter the other day, was Malachi Fields is the only receiver in college football over the last 3 years to put up 5 touchdowns or more in 3 consecutive seasons. Or he was one of 6 receivers, I think is the statistic. So the guy scores touchdowns, but when you watch those touchdowns, they are red zone touchdowns. They are throw it up there and let him go get it touchdowns. So power forward, powerful in the run game, also powerful at the point of attack, the contested catches. Those are the opportunities that Malachi Fields is going to consume from the other receivers. Darnell Mooney is not getting up there and making that contested grab on a strong cornerback. Malachi Fields, in his big 6'4" frame, he can do that. Darius Slayton, he's not getting up there and winning at the point of attack on those contested catches. Malachi Fields is. So when we talk about can he play a high number of snaps this upcoming season, yeah, he can, because he brings something specific to this offense that the rest of these receivers outside of Malik Nabers do not bring. And that's an ability to use his size and his frame to box out a cornerback and make a reception at the point of attack. Those contested catches are critical, and the Giants have not had good contested catch receivers over the last few seasons. So talk about that, Alex. The ability to go up there and make a play on the football, particularly in the red zone, how critical can it be for Malachi Fields to be that contested catch guy for the New York Giants offense?
Well, the one thing I love about Malachi Fields, he doesn't drop the football. You know, you kind of referenced the drop rate. One drop last season. One. Since when do the Giants have a receiver who can catch consistently? It's been a minute, right? It's been a while since the Giants had a guy that we're like, this guy's going to catch the rock. Like, and you mentioned it, the downfield capabilities here, the red zone threat with his size at 6'4", he's basically another tight end out there, but he runs like a receiver. So, you know, that's kind of critical for this John Harbaugh, Matt Nagy / Greg Roman style offense, where they need guys to be able to block on the boundary, but they also need guys who are, you know, going to be able to get and get out downfield and make big catches. The one thing I love about this fit, though, is when you look at what the Giants had in the past with Daniel Jones, the way he threw the football, he lasered the ball in there. It was a horrific style of ball when it came to contested catch type of receivers. Jackson Dart's style of throwing is actually perfect. Perfect for what Malachi Fields' strengths are. He lobs it in there. He puts it into space. He gives guys a chance to go up and get it. I love the way that this fit actually fits. You know, it's not a square peg into a round hole. This is a round hole and a round peg. So it's like, okay, you got Jackson Dart, his ability to layer in these throws and really just rainbow them in, kind of like Russell Wilson did throughout his career, rainbow them into the basket, and he can go up and high point the ball, use his body, use his physicality. But at the same time, what I'm most excited about is third downs. You know, you have a guy who does not drop the football. You can get him into space. You can get him into situations where he's advantageous. You know, if you have a smaller cornerback, just let him use his catch radius. He's going to get those pass interference calls. He can use the hands. You know, everything about him just screams third down chain mover to me. And I love that. So if you get a good, durable, reliable third down receiver and a really elite contested catch guy downfield and a good red zone threat, there's nothing in my mind that says he can't be WR2 on this team very fast. You know, maybe out of seniority, Darius Slayton gets it out of camp, but I wouldn't be surprised by week 7, week 8, Malachi Fields gets on the field a couple times. He's showing those hands, showing some good stuff, and the Giants quickly just replace Slayton. And, you know, that's the future of the team. Slayton's not going to be here in 2027, guys. That contract's going to be cut, and Malachi Fields will be. So I would bet my bottom dollar that transition is going to happen pretty fast.
Yeah, totally agreed. I think we're going to see a lot of Malachi Fields this year, particularly because of the scheme, as we've mentioned. So I want to dive a little bit more into how he's going to get onto the field. But first, a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, which is Prize Picks. So just jumping over to take a quick look at Prize Picks. If you guys haven't heard of it yet, it's America's number one sports picks app. It's a daily fantasy sports platform that's super easy to use. No complicated lines to worry about. As you can see on the screen, just pick more or less on a few player stats and lock in your lineup. Super straightforward and available in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. So taking a look at Prize Picks right now, they have some great lines, of course, for the NBA playoffs. You guys can make some picks on that, but I'm going to go ahead and scroll over to NFL season and look at some of these new picks that you can make on the rookies. Like, they do have some of these guys, like if you go over to sacks, Arvel Reese, and I'm going to take more on 2.75 season sacks. So basically, Arvel Reese needs to put up 3 sacks. I think he's going to do that. Giants are going to use him, yes, as a will linebacker, but he's also going to go ahead, rotate, and pass rush on passing downs like third and fourth down. I think he puts up 3 sacks this year. And then Myles Garrett, more on 14 sacks, feels easy to me. Guy put up like 25 sacks last year. 14 at this point, as crazy as it sounds, it seems kind of low for Myles Garrett. He's that much of a monster. So I'm just going to take those 2 sack lines, build my lineup, and submit. It's that easy.
you guys could see just how easy it is to make picks on Prize Picks, and it's super fun. Plus, you can follow me on Prize Picks at Anthony Rivardo. Tail all of my picks. Check out all of my lineups there right here. I just won some picks last night with the New York Knicks and their win over the Atlanta Hawks. Clutch game there. So, guys, like I said, check out Prize Picks. Use code HMA. Click the link in the description. You will get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup using code HMA. So good luck. Enjoy the games. Remember to always play responsibly.
So, Alex, you mentioned it there. And I think when we look at the history of Darius Slayton, that guy, unfortunately, has been playing WR1 role for the New York Giants more often than not over the last six seasons, which should finally come to an end. I think he's effectively been pushed down the depth chart to where he should be. Malik Nabers, when he's back from the injury and fully healthy, obviously he's the WR1. I think Darnell Mooney right now probably opens the season as WR2. I would argue that he is a better football player than Darius Slayton, and I think I easily win that argument. I mean, he almost put up 1,000 yards in 2024. Last time he played under Matt Nagy, I believe it was in 2021, he did put up 1,000 receiving yards. And this is a player, not to go too far off on a side quest here, Alex, but Darnell Mooney, I'm really excited about. Like, we're talking about Malachi Fields, how he's going to get onto the field, and I'm excited about him. Exciting rookie, long-term answer here as the potential WR2, in my opinion. But short-term answer, I actually think Darnell Mooney might be the most underrated signing that the Giants made this offseason. He's fast. He actually is more physical than people give him credit for. He can make yards after the catch. He's put up over 1,000 receiving yards once before in his career with Matt Nagy, so he knows the system, which is critical. And he's just a dependable option. Like, he's a veteran at this point in his career. I like Darnell Mooney a lot, and I love that signing for the Giants. So as a short-term WR2, I think the Giants really do have something solid right now, immediately. But then they also have a long-term plan at WR2, since Darnell Mooney is only on a one-year contract. So when I'm looking at that kind of two-pointed attack here to fix that WR2 spot, I think that's critical. Why, Alex? Because Malik Nabers is still injured. Malik Nabers is recovering from this ACL tear, and there are kind of conflicting reports. Will he be ready for training camp? Probably not. Will he return some point during training camp? Maybe. Will he be on the field in week one? Possibly, but don't bet on it, right? So if the Giants are going to be opening up this season without Malik Nabers on the field, that's critical opportunity for Malachi Fields to get on the field, because you're going to push Darnell Mooney up to WR1 and you're going to push Malachi Fields to instantly play that WR2 role. And if he plays really well in that role, once Malik Nabers comes back, he's going to stay in that role of WR2 opposite Malik Nabers. So I'll ask you, Alex, right there, what is kind of your perspective on Darnell Mooney? I kind of want to get your season outlook on him and how good you think he could be as the Giants' short-term WR2. But at the same time, it was really wise of the Giants to double invest at WR2 with Mooney and Malachi Fields, knowing Malik Nabers is still recovering from that ACL tear.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Darnell Mooney is a 1,000-yard receiver. He's had more yards than Darius Slayton in his career multiple times. So it's like, he is, you could argue, better than Darius Slayton today and being paid about half as much. So, you know, that's a pretty big, I guess it's a red flag for Joe Shane for signing that contract in the first place for Slayton, but more so, you know, a green flag for John Harbaugh. And I'll give credit to Joe Shane helping identify a cheaper player coming off a down season that had a couple injuries, and now he's ready to bounce back, and he wanted to come to a place where he felt like he could rebuild his stock. Darnell Mooney, I don't know what his role is going to be in terms of snap share. Obviously, you have Slayton still there. Now you have Malachi Fields and Calvin Austin. I think Calvin Austin ends up being your return man. I know they have, you know, Gunnar Olszewski. You know, we'll see if he cracks the roster. At this point, they have competition. I think you mentioned Nabers, obviously the injury, like having that depth is the utmost critical importance. But the Giants, for the first time in a while, have a wide receiver room that were like, there's a couple guys that are good talents there, good players that may not make this roster. Like, that's a good problem to have. Some of these deals are not fully guaranteed and are really, really limited in upside to begin with. So, you know, I imagine that most of them will make the roster, but their roles probably won't be that heavy. But having depth, it's a long season, man, especially with 18-week season these days. These players get banged up. They get injured. They get hurt. Like, you need to have depth. Have to. So even if you're Darnell Mooney or Calvin Austin saying, well, you know, weeks 1 through 6, I'm not getting that much playing time, I'd bet that they're going to be getting action after that. You know, I'd bet that something's going to happen. You know, it just is what it is. Knock on wood. But, you know, you have to have depth these days at critical positions, and receivers, one of those spots where we saw it yet last year. Nabers goes down. Obviously, they hand feed Wandale Robinson over and over and over. But like, that's unsustainable. Like, you cannot do that. You get to the playoffs, they're just going to bracket coverage. Your best target, if you only have one of them, and you're done. You're cooked. So, you know, if you look at what the Giants have now, you can't do that. They have a lot of talent there, a lot of upside and variations as well, right? They don't have one guy that, you know, they don't have five guys that have the same skill sets. They have five guys who have vastly different skill sets, right? Darnell Mooney is significantly different than Malachi Fields. Calvin Austin is significantly different than Malachi Fields. Neighbors is significantly different than all the rest of these guys. Then you have Isaiah Likely, who's basically a de facto receiver. There's a lot of variation there. So if you're a defense trying to game plan for how the Giants are going to deploy some of these guys, if they're on the field, how are they using them? There's going to be a lot of confusion, right? A lot of confusion, a lot of moving pieces, a lot of substitutions, a lot of scheme-related inclusions and exclusions. I'm like, that is something that we haven't had in years, Anthony, years, maybe a decade, to be quite frank with you. So, you know, it'll be exciting. And really, the last time we had those, like, two top receivers was OBJ and Victor Cruz. And, like, Cruz tears his patellar tendon, and then we didn't really ever get to see the best of that. So it's like, you know, we really have a couple of really exciting talents right now. And Jackson Dart, the best way to support your own quarterback, give them a ton of weapons and a lot of protection. And he has both. There is no excuse for Jackson Dart not to come into this 2026 season and absolutely kick ass. There is no excuse. He should be dominant this year with the support that they've given him. And then you got Neighbors and Scottie Boo coming back and a better coaching staff with John Harbaugh. There's expectations now. Like, there are expectations. The Giants last year, let's see what happens. We need to be 8 or 9 win team. Like, that should be the floor, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the moment that John Harbaugh got here, he said our expectation is to compete for championships, to compete for playoff spots, to be in the playoffs every single year. So that's the expectation he set out there for us. That's the expectation we need to hold him to, right? We need to expect the Giants to compete in December for playoff spots. That's what I want to see. And that's going to take a jump forward from Jackson Dart, of course. And listen, Jackson Dart was great as a rookie in the context of being a rookie, but he's definitely got parts of his game to improve on, as all rookies going into year two do. And he's got a good environment around him to improve those aspects of his game. Like you mentioned, Alex, I mean, I like what the Giants have built on that offensive coaching staff. Matt Nagy, I think, was an interesting choice at offensive coordinator. Probably not the most exciting choice, probably the more boring but safe choice. But then all of the additional hires that they made, Callahan as the quarterback's coach / passing game coordinator, you know, kind of showing up the ability to make those RPOs kind of seamlessly fit into the offense and really make this a quick passing attack for Jackson Dart, but also find some vertical concepts in there to pepper the ball downfield to Malik Neighbors and Darnell Mooney. And then you've got Greg Roman stepping in as that senior offensive assistant. So now you've basically got three de facto co-coordinators here for the New York Giants. One's handling the run game, one's handling the pass game, and one's overseeing the entire offense and calling the plays. I like that setup, and I think that is a quarterback-friendly setup, especially for a quarterback who has a lot of talent and showed a lot of it in his rookie season. So I have pretty high expectations for Jackson Dart. The Giants have a good running back room. They just upgraded at tight end / slot receiver with Isaiah Likely. They have an elite WR1 in Malik Neighbors when he's healthy. And as we've discussed throughout this episode, they have a solid core of receivers now. I mean, we've talked a lot about Odell Beckham Jr. Should the Giants sign him? Do they need to sign him? I don't think the question is, do they need to sign him? But it wouldn't hurt to sign him. You can add him to this core, but it's a pretty deep core as it is currently constructed. Calvin Austin is a decent receiver, and he's WR 4 or 5 potentially on this roster right now. So that tells you they have done a lot to upgrade this roster since last season. Last season, man, Calvin Austin would have been a top 4 player in that receiving core with ease. He might have even started games after the injuries. This year, I don't expect him to start any games. So that tells you the progress that they've made in upgrading the weaponry around Jackson Dart, and not even to mention the offensive line. Bringing back Jermaine Illuminor, that was critical. Andrew Thomas being healthy will be crucial, but also investing in your young quarterback by taking Francis Mauinoa 10th overall. I think that the Giants do have a solid nurturing environment for a year two quarterback that is currently being constructed, and that's going to be critical. So as we kind of wrap this up, Alex, when I'm looking at Malachi Fields and his fit in this offense, I love it. I just think it makes a lot of sense. He provides a skill set to this Giants offense that they did not previously have. A guy who doesn't drop the football. A guy who can go up there and make contested catches. He's not the fastest player in the world. That's why they have Darnell Mooney. He's a burner. Darius Slayton is a fast receiver. They needed a guy who wasn't physically, you know, freakish, who wasn't super athletic and fast. They needed a guy who was consistent, who was smooth as a route runner, who could get open and be dependable, sit down in the zones, go up there and bail his quarterback out if the ball is a little high, right? That's Malachi Fields, and that is really important. I don't know the last time the Giants had a WR2 with the potential that Malachi Fields has. So I love that pick. You know, at first it was like, okay, should we really be giving up all that draft capital to get him? It was debatable. But now when you look at it in the context of this offense, what the Giants are trying to build, they didn't have a possession receiver that could start on the boundary. Now they do. And that is absolutely crucial for the development of Jackson Dart.
I would agree. And listen, the Giants, well, we know one thing. The Miami Dolphins wanted Malachi Fields. They were going to take him about a couple picks later. The Giants leapfrogged them a whole round to get him. So they obviously have a lot of conviction. The one thing I'll say about Malachi Fields that does get me the most excited is that we haven't really seen his peak, and I think that he was kind of buried because of the scheme that he ran with Notre Dame. Obviously, they leaned on Jeremiah Love. That was their workhorse. But when Malachi Fields' name was called on 62 targets, he dropped one pass. You know, he made some of the most unbelievable highlight reel grabs you will ever see. You know what I mean? Like, if you just go watch his highlights, not to say that's the end-all be-all of a film study. I know Anthony's going to do a big breakdown about him, and you're going to love that video, I'm sure of it. But, and just a shout-out to his most previous video with the NASCAR stuff, 11,000 views right now. People are loving it. Go make sure to follow that. You know, go follow that. This series is going to be awesome moving forward. And listen, Malachi Fields, like I said, is a good scheme fit. He's a very good scheme fit. He is a big body. He's going to be a good run blocker on the outside. Darius Slayton's not a good run blocker, guys. That is the ultimate reason why he's going to fall down the order. Not because he can't do this or that. We know he can't catch well, but he can get open. We know he can get open. He just can't catch the ball. I think Malachi Fields, the strength that he brings is that 50% of snaps when they're running the football, he's going to be a better player. So you really want him on the field for those snaps. And then you have play action. And then you have all the sorts of ways they're going to integrate him into that system. And suddenly, he's your WR2. Like, the Giants didn't trade up to spend a third-round pick on him to bury him behind Slayton, Mooney, and Austin. He is going to be in the mix immediately for WR2 snaps. I would bank on it. We just have to see how well he translates quickly to the NFL. I'm sure there's going to be a margin for error there. I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of a transition period, but long term, he's WR2 for us. I would argue Slayton's on a one-year contract right now. Mooney and Austin are on one-year contracts. The writing's on the wall. They want Malachi Fields to be WR2. It's just a matter of how long it takes for him to get there.
100%. And I think he's going to get there probably by the end of the season, especially if there are opportunities that arise due to injuries or whatever happens to this Giants offense. I think Malachi Fields, when his number is called, when he has an opportunity, his skill set in this offense is going to create opportunities for him to really capitalize and really make some plays for this Giants team. So again, I just think those kind of receivers, 6'4", don't drop the football, but can make plays in space and also be a contested catch guy. That's a quarterback's best friend. And that's what Jackson Dart was missing from the offense last year. You know, throwing to a limited catch radius of Wandale Robinson as his WR2, or throwing to a massive catch radius of a guy who doesn't drop the football in his WR2 now with Malachi Fields. Jackson Dart's going to love that, I think. So I'm really excited for this offense. I think it's got potential. And, you know, this Giants team still is a work in progress. They still need to draft or assign a defensive tackle. They still need to make some more improvements to their depth here and there as we get ready for mini camp, which is coming up next week. And then, of course, in July, we've got training camp. So let's see what the Giants do over the next couple of weeks and months to improve the rest of this roster. But right now, as things stand, I just posted on the Fireside Giants Instagram today, Alex, a carousel of all of the different lineups that the Giants have in terms of their playmakers, their offensive line, their defensive line, their secondary. I had to leave guys off the list. There were people in the comments like, where is this player? Where is that player? It's like, well, I'm only putting the starting lineup. If you don't see that guy in there, that means he's not technically in the starting lineup right now. And that just highlights the depth that the Giants have. The fact that they are good enough for good players to be left off of a post detailing their starting lineup is a great sign for the Giants' overall roster construction right now. So I will give credit to Joe Shane for that. He did a good job this offseason, and I'll absolutely give credit to John Harbaugh for attracting some of those guys over from Baltimore and helping dictate who stays, who goes, and who to acquire. I think that the Giants did a great job this offseason really improving this roster, and so I'm excited about that. But also, like we said, excited for that new power forward in the offense, which is Malachi Fields. So plenty more breakdowns, as Alex mentioned, to come on the channel in the coming weeks. We've got a Colton Hood one, a Francis Malinoa one, and a Malachi Fields one coming very soon. Going to knock out pretty much everybody in this rookie draft class of interest. Before I move on to some other breakdowns on the series, I think we're going to do some throwback breakdowns as well, Alex and I were discussing. So if that sounds interesting to you, definitely comment about it down below in the comment section. So appreciate everybody tuning in. Do make sure to check out Prize Picks. Click the link down below in the description box. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.
Perfect.